Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
Well, Leo, we're going to be in 2 Samuel in your Old Testament, chapter 23, second to the last chapter of Samuel. And while we've always highlighted Memorial Day, I don't think preached a message on it, and I just felt inspired to do that this year. So I've entitled the message this morning, Acts of Valor, and it applies to people that maybe serve in our military or have served, of why they're worthy of honor and valor, but it also applies to people, whether it's in the church world or whether it's just in our communities. Heroes are born every day. And I think because they do some of the things that we're going to read about and some of the characteristics of what makes a person worthy of valor or honor. So we've honored those that have served our country. And one of the things about Memorial Day is that sometimes it can seem more like a holiday than it is a day to honor those that have served our country and those that have given their life. It can be easily, it seems like it's the first summer vacation weekend for a lot of families. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I don't think we want to lose sight of the purpose of the holiday is to honor those that have died for our country. War is never a pleasant thing. And while God does forbid murder, okay, he doesn't forbid the taking of life during war, a justified war or battle. Now, some people say, you know, God says, thou shalt not kill. But that's really not what it says. It says, thou shalt not murder. Okay, murder is the taking of innocent life without a justified intent or purpose. And as you go through the Old Testament, there is a lot of bloodshed, folks, isn't there? There's a lot of bloodshed. Some of it is justified, some of it is not. Some of it had God's blessing, some of it did not. And in the United States, we've been in several battles and wars. I think the most bloodiest, I think, and the highest toll was, is it not the Civil War? Is that right? And then I'm not sure if World War I or II, which one was worse out of there. And then Vietnam, and you have the Korean conflict, and now we've had Afghanistan and Iraq. And so we've had a lot of conflicts and wars and battles throughout our nation's history. And I think one of the toughest decisions that a president ever has to make is to send troops into harm's way. That has to be one of the most difficult, because you realize not only asking people to put their life on the line, but also it can involve just a father or mother, their children, their families, a son or a daughter going off to war, and you're placing them in harm's way. That's a very difficult decision to make. And to protect our freedom, to protect the welfare of our nation, and to defend our country. But this morning I want to touch upon characteristics of men and women of valor. And in this chapter 23 of 2 Samuel, we see David's mighty men. And in here, Scripture lists all these mighty men, 30 of them that were considered mighty men of valor. Okay? And it lists all these men, and some of them it lists their exploits, some of the things that they accomplished that gave them recognition, that gave them honor, that allowed them to be recognized. And so I want to look at what are some of the characteristics of men and women of valor, whether it's on the battlefield, whether it's in our community, whether it's in our churches. What sets people apart, these people apart from the rest? So I want to begin in verse 8 of chapter 23, and David begins, the author of Samuel here begins with listing these mighty men of valor. It says that these are the names of David's mighty men. We're going to say his name is Josh, okay, for short. Unless somebody else wants to pronounce that name. All right. So we have Josh. He was the chief of the three. So David has three men that were kind of at the top of his list. Okay, Jesus had three kind of inner group disciples too, Peter, James, and John. David had three, and Josh was at the top. Why? Because he raised his spear against how many men? 800 men. Not very good odds. 800 to 1, huh? And they probably took him in for testing, see if he was insane to go up against those odds. But he went up against 800 men whom he killed in one encounter. Wow, that's incredible. Next to him was Eleazar of Dodai, the Ahohite, as one of the three mighty men. He was with David when they taunted the Philistines gathered at Pass Damon for battle. Then the men of Israel retreated. Okay? So Eleazar is he's in his company of soldiers, right? He's out fighting, and they come up against the Philistines, and what do the rest of his fellow comrades do? They retreat. But what does Eleazar do? Verse 10, but he, what? He stood his ground, right? And he struck down the Philistines till his hand grew tired and froze to the sword. You ever grip something long, so long that your hand just froze to it? I remember when we were framing in as a young child, I was 12, 14, child labor laws. My dad put me to work too early. But I helped him out in construction. But I remember framing, days of framing, and just driving those 16 sinkers. And that's just a nail now. They use screws. But you would just go all day, and before the end of the day, your hand would just be frozen to that hammer. You just have to kind of open up your fingers and let go to get release that. But he struck down so many Philistines that his hand grew tired and his hand froze to the sword. And that day he brought about a great victory that day, and the troops returned to Eleazar, but only to strip the dead. He stood his ground. And next to him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Harahite. And when the Philistines banded together at a place, there was in a field full of lentils. What are lentils? Beans, peas, okay? And here again, Israel's troops fled, okay? They see the numbers, they see they're outnumbered, and they head for the high country. But Shammah, again, he took his stand in the middle of this bean field and says, you're not going to have it, okay? I'm taking my stand. And in the middle of that field, he defended it and struck down the Philistines and brought about a great victory. And what I see about mighty men of valor, women and men of valor, is first of all that they what? They take a stand for what is right. They take a stand for what is right. Regardless of whether they're friends, their comrades, the other people that are with them, whether they retreat or they go opposite direction, they have taking a stand means that you have some convictions, things you believe in. All right? And convictions are more than just beliefs. They are something that you're willing to put your life on the line, you're willing to take a stand for. And taking a stand doesn't mean you're going to do it and you hold your finger up in the air and I'm going to do it if everybody else does it. Okay? You take a stand regardless of what other people say and what other people do. You take your stand. And that's what these men did. Everybody else retreated, but they took their stand and said, we're not going to give up this ground. We're going to fight for what is right. We're going to fight for our country. We're going to fight for our people. We're going to fight for our family. And we're not going to give up this ground to our enemy, but we're going to take our stand. That's a gutsy thing to do, isn't it? 800 to 1. You might as well just sign that death certificate, right? And yet God was with them, and God gave them a great victory. God gave them a great victory. I think about the men and women that volunteer to defend our nation and put their life at risk. Why do they do it? Because they believe in our nation. They want to protect the principles, the values, the rights, not only for our nation, but for our families and for everyone. They want to put their life on the line because they believe, they have the convictions that what this country has is worth fighting for. It applies to the protecting our nation as far as the military, but it also applies in the church world too. Just this last week, one of our Assembly of God pastors in Tehran, Iran, was arrested during morning prayer. The authorities came into their church building, arrested him, and right now I don't believe they know his whereabouts, where he is at. And this isn't the first time that pastors that have been arrested in Iran, and many times they're never heard of after that moment in time. They take a stand. It would be easy for them to retreat. It'd be easy for them to say, hey, we're just going to close down church because it means persecution or the authorities may come for us. But they take that stand. They get up in front of those people and they lead their congregations. They take that stand even if it means the cost of their life. That takes some guts, doesn't it? And because of that, when we take our stand, when everybody else goes their own way, but we take a stand for what is right, that puts you in the category of being the top percent and being a man or woman of valor. People that represent our country do that. People that of conviction, that become noted for their acts of service, often take a stand for what is right. They go with their convictions. They go with what is right. And because of that, down the road, we recognize them for the stand that they took, even if it came at a great cost and a great price. Well, we learn about those guys. Let's look at some other characteristics. Verses 13 through 17, we're going to see more of these mighty men. During the harvest time, there was 3 of the 30 chief men that came down to David at the cave of Adullam. Okay, if you're taking our Old Testament survey class, we'll probably cover Adullam here. And while a band of Philistines was encamped at the valley of Rephidim, at that time David was in his stronghold, and the Philistines were in a garrison that was at Jerusalem. And David longed for water and says, oh, if someone would get me a drink of water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem. There must have been something special about that water. It was cold. Maybe had just a sweetness to it. But it brought back a lot of memories for David. And he said, man, you know, he's talking to his friends, to his comrades. He said, man, if I could just have some of that water. He wasn't wanting them to go out and get it or anything. He was just saying, man, that water would just really be refreshing at this moment. And 3 of these mighty men, what'd they do? They broke through the Philistine lines, the enemy lines, went to the well that was near the gate of Bethlehem, drew some water and brought it back to David. And this is the interesting part. And David refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out before the Lord. And he gave it as a gift offering to God. It says it is not the blood of men who went and risked their lives. And David would not drink it, but he gave it as an offering unto God. But see, here we see mighty men of women and men of valor, second of all, are willing to take a risk for what is right. Not only are they willing to take a stand, and there's maybe some overlap here, but they're willing to take a risk, to stand up for what is right and to do what is right. And these men didn't have to go and get David water, but they respected his leadership and who he was enough that they said, you know what, we're willing to take a risk for our king, for our leader. And they broke through the enemy lines to get some water for their king. That's pretty incredible. They took a risk to do what was right. If you're going to probably do anything worth noting in this world, you're going to have to take a risk, aren't you? I was talking to a businessman this past week, and he says that only 2% of Americans have an entrepreneurial gene. And a true entrepreneur is one that is willing to take a risk and willing to risk it all to fulfill that dream, to do what they feel is right, to do the dream that they have in their heart. And it seems that America has a higher majority of people that are willing to take that risk, that entrepreneurial spirit. And one author says he believes the reason is because the people that settled this land were people that were willing to take a risk. Okay, they were willing to go to the West to fight whatever dangers that lied ahead for them. And even through Nebraska here, we have that route. We have the, as they traveled along the Platte River to go out west. Okay? That was one of the routes that they took. But they were willing to face, whether it was Indians, the elements, sickness, to pursue that dream, to take that risk. So he believes that because our nation and our country was founded by people like that, there's a higher percentage. But see, very little will be accomplished in life unless you're willing to take a risk. Whether it's starting a new church, whether it's starting a new business, a new career, whether it is to protect and defend our country, you have to be willing to take a risk, don't you? In fact, I was told, this is when I was at seminary, and it really helped me to kind of gauge the rest of my life. From a person that one of my professors says, you know what, if there's anything that is worth doing, it's worth failing at. It's worth taking a risk. And that means if it's worth taking a risk, it's worth failing at. And many times we don't want to fail, so therefore we don't take any risks. But failure is an okay thing. Some of the greatest people that we recognize, whether it's Abraham Lincoln or Edison, light bulb, right? How many times did he try and it failed? Quite a few. Failure is not a bad thing, folks. And we have to be willing to risk some things for what is right if we want to accomplish things that people will remember, whether it is for Christ, whether it's in our community, whether it's for our nation. I think about SEAL Team 6. There's been some movies done, books written on it. But when they captured Osama bin Laden, you know, there was some risk involved there, wasn't there? You know, it went well, so it looks good, right? But it could have went the other way. And not every operation of that nature has always gone in our favor and gone the way we would like it to. But there's risk. But at some point you have to say, is the cause good enough that it's worth taking the risk and it's worth failing at? And if it is, you go and do it. Men and women of valor are willing to take a risk for what is right. They're not willing just to throw their life away, but they're willing to take a risk for the right cause, for the right thing, for Christ, for our nation, and for family. Amen? Well, there's some other qualities we see here. Verses 18 down through 22. We see two more men that are mighty men of valor. You have Abishai, a brother of Joab, Zariah, that was the chief of the three. He raised a spear against 300 men whom he killed, and so he became famous as the three. He was not held in greater honor than the three. Was he not held in greater honor than the three? But he became their commander, even though he was not included among them. Okay? So here again, 300-1 odds, he goes against these men with his spear, and he takes them out. And then we read about Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, and he was a valiant fighter in Kabzeel. And he performed great exploit. He struck down, now listen to all these. He struck down Moab's two best men, okay? And he went down into a pit on a snowy day and he killed a lion. And he struck down a huge Egyptian. Although the Egyptian had a spear in his own hand, this guy would have probably been sought after. He could have been drafted in the NFL, right? The Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but Benaniah went and grabbed the Egyptian's own spear and killed him with it. Pretty good, huh? Benaniah had some pretty good skill set, okay? The Marines would have signed him up, the Special Forces, he'd have been there. And such were the exploits of Benaniah. And what I see in these two guys is another characteristic, and we call that usually bravery or courage. That men and women of valor display courage, bravery. You know, and bravery and courage is not the absence of fear, is it? It's being able to overcome the fear that is there to channel it in the right way, to overcome it, and to still do what is right, even though fear is before us. But mighty men and women of valor display courage at crucial moments when all that is right is at stake. You do the right thing. I don't think you're born with courage. I think courage is more or less something that is developed within us. And I don't know if there's a test to see this person tests high in courage or does not. Until you are placed in that situation and you do the right thing, even though you're scared half to death. That's what bravery and that's what courage is. And Abraham Lincoln, that is known as one of our best presidents, and just the courage and the bravery he displayed in trying to heal our nation and lead it through the resolution of the Civil War and to bring the end to slavery. That took some courage and that took some bravery. And it ended up costing him his life. But he put his life on the line for what was right. He displayed courage. And Abishai and Benaniah did the same thing. They were willing to go against great odds to do what was right, to defend their turf, and to display courage and bravery. Because of that, they're included in our scripture today as mighty men of valor. I think of David, a young lad, maybe 12, 14, maybe 16. And he comes to the battle, seen to bring food for his older brothers. He's still tending sheep. And he sees Goliath. He comes there just as Goliath is out there taunting the nation of Israel, the army of Israel. And instead of getting the food and heading back to his father, he says, "What's going to be done about this? This man can't do that. He's taunting our God. He's taunting my nation. He's taunting my people." And nobody was willing to do anything. They were all shaking in their boots, literally. And David says, "I have to do something." And so nobody else had the courage or the bravery to do it, but he puts on King Saul's armor. It's too big. And he goes out with a sling and some stones, right? And he takes on Goliath and he kills him. Now, he had God's help in there, right? But it took David going out there, the bravery and the courage to go out there and to take that step and to trust God. And very few people are willing to do that. Honestly, right? And that's why we honor people of valor and bravery who display courage. And our nation's history is full of people that have served with honor and distinction. It's always very interesting just to see read about people that have served this country and that have displayed bravery and courage in desperate times. And because of that, we come to the final point. We come to the final point here. It says that because of this, verse 23, they were held in honor. Benaniah, but also all of them, they were held in honor. And the whole chapter is about honoring these men that stood by David's side. And just a little bit of a backdrop. These men came to David at a time where he was on the run from Saul. Saul realized that David was going to become king and he wasn't happy about it. He served with favor for a time, but eventually, because Saul wasn't secure enough in who he was, he began to chase David. And David had to live a life on the run. And these men came to David and surrounded David. And they became his army. And they became mighty men of valor and honor because of the exploits that they did and that we see about in our scripture. And the final thing is that men and women of valor are to be honored. And that's what Memorial Day is all about. My junior year of high school, at the end, I had the privilege of taking a trip to Washington, D.C. on a close-up trip. They still offer them today. Creed still takes them. I had just moved up to Alaska in the middle of right over Christmas break. Started school January, whatever. And I had a history teacher that said, "You know what, I think I can get you some money. We can get you there." And I got to go on this close-up trip. And I remember going to Capitol Hill and seeing some of the sites there, but the sites that really stood out to me were Arlington Cemetery, the Tomb of the Unknown, the ceremony that they had there, Iwo Jima. We all went there and got around the statue there. The wall. Went to the wall and saw that. We went to the Naval Academy at Annapolis. It's not that far away, about an hour away. And my teachers had some connections, so we went and took a trip there, toured the Naval Academy. And you just, those are the things that really stand out. And just the people that have gone before us. You go to Arlington, just see all the people. I don't know what the head count is of the people that have given their life for our country, but it's staggering just to see all the people that have risked their life for our freedom and the privileges, the freedoms, the rights that we have in our nation. It's not perfect by any means, but people come to our nation for a reason, because of the opportunity. And there's a lot of spiritual messages there for us as well, because ultimately we represent Christ and taking a stand for Him and bravery for Him. Would you stand as we sing the song, The Stand?